Friends, I'm introducing Dr. Walter Martin. He was one of the best teachers exposing cults. He founded the Christian Research Institute and created the well-known radio programs about various denominations. Today, the radio program is called The Bible Answer Man. The program today will be addressing Roman Catholicism and its various traditions integrated into basic Christian biblical beliefs taught by the apostles picked by Jesus Christ himself.
Have your Bibles, I'd like you to open them, if you will, to the Gospel according to St. Matthew. The Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 16. Matthew, chapter 16. There is here one of the most interesting dialogues in the Bible between the Lord Jesus Christ and his apostles. And it is a passage often quoted by the Roman Catholic Church as proof of its authority to represent Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 16. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, verse 13, he asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." But Jesus said to him, "But whom do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever shall be bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever shall be loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then ordered he his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. This particular passage is quoted by the Roman Catholic Church and has been quoted consistently, historically, as proof of their ultimate authority, that is, their right to speak in the name of God, and that Peter was indeed the first Papa, or the Bishop of Rome, and the sovereign of the Church. Now, they have carried this doctrine to almost unbelievable lengths historically. And I just like to quote what they have to say on the subject. And I think it's very important that we recognize that there are differences that do persist. There are Roman Catholics who are true Christians, who love the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him as their Savior. I believe that they are Christians not because of the Roman Catholic Church, but despite the Roman Catholic Church and the things which it has added to biblical theology. When the Lord Jesus Christ encountered the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, he said to them, "You do make void the command of God through your traditions, And by adding their traditions, they had watered down the truth of God's Word. I believe this is true classically of Roman Catholic theology. It is not the core of Catholicism which disturbs us, because they confess the Trinity, the deity of Christ, the virgin birth, the perfection of our Lord, his miracles, his vicarious death on the cross, his bodily resurrection, salvation through him alone, the resurrection from the dead, ascension into heaven, our great high priest before the Father, after the order of Melchizedek. They believe also in the second coming of Jesus Christ, the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth. And they loudly maintain that they have always believed in justification by faith, as notes in the current Catholic Bibles indicate. So they believe in this, as well as in eternal judgment and in bliss for the redeemed in heaven. Now, that's basic outline of Christian theology. It's not the core of Catholicism which disturbs, any more than it was the core of the Pharisees that disturbed the Lord Jesus Christ, because he said, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Which meant that the scribes and Pharisees really had it made in terms of their keeping to the letter of the law. But added to the letter of the law were their traditions. The traditions of men, the theories and comments of men, the ideas of men were added to God's word. What happened? There was instantaneous progressive dilution so that the truth was watered down. And Jesus could turn to them and say, look what you're doing. You are arguing for the validity of the law and destroying the spirit of the law by adding human tradition. I believe this is what has happened in Roman Catholic theology. I know because I attended Roman Catholic parochial schools. I graduated from a Roman Catholic school. I have had associations over the years with priests and Catholic theologians. I have asked all the right questions, I think, and I have gotten the answers. I've compiled all this material, and there are many fine books on the subject. We have a complete list of books at Christian Research Institute on Catholicism and Protestantism, which we urge interested Protestants and Roman Catholics to peruse. The point I'm trying to make is, there's no hostility on the part of Protestantism to historic Catholic theology, classic Catholic theology. Because in the beginning, there was only one universal church. The Apostles' Creed clearly states, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. It does not say Roman Catholic. It says Catholic, which meant the universal church. There were many bishops of the church. Each one was called Papa, from which we get our word Pope. Each one had his own diocese. He was the ruling teacher, following apostolic order, where Paul sent Titus to Crete. And he said, I appointed you to ordain elders at all the churches. Titus was the first bishop or ruling teacher of Crete. Under him came the pastors, teachers, evangelists, and those constructed the authority of the early church. This upsets the Baptists when you say this, but nevertheless, it's classical theology. That's exactly what church history indicates took place. Now, authority gradually centralized when Christianity was recognized as the state religion by Constantine, Emperor of Rome. And he used it as a political means to fuse the empire together. Rome was falling apart. So the church was used as the mortar of a new empire to hold it all together. You can read all of this in Philip Schaff's History of the Christian Church, Lars Qualbin on the Christian Church, Kenneth Scott La Tourette. All the great church historians have cataloged this. Even Roman Catholic historians have given this information, given us this information. There's no doubt about its background. But we must understand what the Roman Church claims for its pontiff. Jolly John the 23rd was a marvelous public relations man for the Roman Catholic Church. I believe he was a sincere Christian. I believe the Lord did tell him to call an ecumenical conference. I believe he did have a vision of Christ. I believe he went against all odds in the entire Vatican to bring it about. And since that time, the windows were open in the church, as John said, and some fresh air and some light got in. Unfortunately, the bats haven't gotten out of the belfry yet. But nevertheless, still, John made a great move. The popes who succeeded him haven't made much of a move at all. And the one that now occupies the seat of Peter is desperately trying to bring them back again under the realm of Pius XII, who was one of the classic authoritarian popes of history. So, let us understand that we are Protestants, protesters against the authority of the Bishop of Rome, against his right as supreme pontiff or sovereign over the church. That we do not feel as Protestants we answer to him or to the Church of Rome, but we answer instead to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and our conscience before the Lord. That was the difference between Protestantism and Catholicism. One is the submission to a man, Bishop of Rome. The other is submission to God, the Holy Spirit, and to the authority of Holy Scripture. There is the difference. Now, should there be any doubt, before I deal with Matthew 16, let me draw your attention to what the popes themselves have said on the subject. In the bull of Pope Boniface VIII, entitled Unum Sanctum, which any Catholic reference book will give you, he states, quote, "We declare, affirm, define, and pronounce it to be necessary to salvation for every human creature to be subject to the Roman pontiff." Close quote. Should there be any doubt about what he meant, in case you can't understand English, Cardinal Manning, in authority on papal bulls and decrees, said that this is, quote, infallible and beyond all doubt an act, ex cathedra, close quote. That means from the chair of Peter, faith and morals, the statement has been made. And the statement is, we affirm, define, declare, and pronounce it to be necessary to salvation for every human creature to be subject to the Roman pontiff. They who are with me are with the church. They who are not with me are out of the church. They are out of the way, the truth, and the life. Let men well understand this, that they be not deceived or led astray by soi-disant Catholics, as by Catholics who are not telling the truth, who desire and teach something quite different from what the head of the church teaches. Close quote. You notice that he lifted John chapter 14, verse 6 for himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So that was a declaration never rescinded. What is a vicar? A vicar is, quote, a deputy, one who acts for another. In this case, Jesus Christ. I alone, despite my unworthiness, he says, act in the name of Jesus Christ. You're with me, you're with Christ. You're not with me, you're not with Christ. I would like the present Pope to issue another edict in which he says that this wasn't ex cathedra, it didn't come as an infallible decree, ollie ollie oxen free. All of you separated brothers are going to be considered part of the body of Christ. Now, if we could just get something official like that, then we could offset Pius IX and Boniface VIII. But you don't hear anything on that subject from Rome, and the reason you don't is because one suspects that they haven't really altered the opinion at all. Again, the Roman Catholic Catechism, Lesson 2 on the Church, clearly states that the church is the congregation of all those who profess the faith of Christ and partake of the same sacraments and are governed by their lawful pastors under one visible head. Close quote. Who is the visible head? The Bishop of Rome, the representative of the Apostle Peter. Jesus Christ rules, governs, and preserves the church. But how does he do it? Through the ministry of his apostles and their successors. Who is the visible head of the church? Our Holy Father the Pope, Bishop of Rome, Vicar of Christ on earth, visible head of the church. Other names for the Pope, Sovereign Pontiff, Father of Christendom, His Holiness. Close quote. One need only read the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, chapter 11, to realize the error of this. Jesus Christ, in his great high priestly prayer to the Father, said, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast sanctified, the ones that you have given me. Keep through thine own name.
Friends, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and wish to be in the rapture, say this prayer with me right now, okay? It will be available on Cephas-radio.com in case you can't follow it. Cephas, Cephas-radio.com. Our Father, who art in heaven, thank you for giving up your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who was the only one who was without sin, and able and willing to take the penalty for all our sins by shedding his blood, so we can be assured that he paid the penalty in full. He said the following before he died on the cross, It is finished. God, Father, I humbly come before you and ask for forgiveness for my sins. I repent of them. I wish to become your child, born again of the Holy Spirit, who will be my teacher, my comforter, and my connection to you, Father God. I believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God. I wish to make him my Lord and Savior forever. Amen. This commitment will change me, and goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23:6. Remember, God is in control and allowing his word to be fulfilled when the time is right. Our assignment is to keep you informed as to not be deceived. Satan comes in a perfect coat. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Mark chapter 13, verse 22, For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. The elect have the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. Jesus taught in John 10:27, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me.
Time is up. Celebrate our 25th anniversary with us at CephasThriftShop.com. Cephas-Thrift-Shop.com. We are selling our inventory at a 90% discount. Books, DVDs, CDs, and etc. The DVDs and CDs are originals and new, and the books are described. Join our monthly newsletter free at go-cephas.com. My email address is r421@earthlink.net. Thanks for listening, and tell your friends about us. God bless you, and hope to share with you next week. Shalom, Rita Williams.